Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith. Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Amen. Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. It's a real privilege for me to stand here and wish my church family a Happy New Year. As a matter of fact, let's just take a moment. Just look around at each other and wish each other Happy New Year. It's just... You guys are the faithful. And while you're doing that, have a little chat with your neighbor. And I want you to tell your neighbor, in 10 years' time, if you had to briefly describe 2016, how would you describe it? Very briefly. Just kind of sum it up. Does anyone want to shout out what they were thinking or saying? Things that can be said in church? Any ideas? Anybody? Just shout out to me. What was 2016 like? Sorry? Some highs and some lows. Okay, great. So a lot of challenges, but out of some of those challenges came blessings. Great. Okay. So at this time of year, I really love watching the year in review programs and reading the articles. You know, everyone's sort of trying to sum up the year, sort of in their own way. And I came across a newspaper article earlier this week that described the year like this. 2016, in its best possible light, looks like the training montage in Rocky, the bit where he lost a few teeth. For me, 2016 was a surprising year. Let's face it, in many ways, this was a punch in the face kind of year on a global scale. And for many of us, on a personal level, we may have felt that there were echoes of what was happening around us in our own lives. But of course, as we stop to reflect on the year, there'll be a lot to give thanks for. You know, answered prayers and goals achieved, opportunities grasped, moments shared with loved ones. Being grateful was a theme for me this year. It's something I'm trying to get better at. And my husband, Jonathan, and I have a little kind of gratefulness trick. So if we're feeling low and we're feeling like things aren't really going the way that we want them to go, we sit together and we take turns thanking God for 10 things that, you know, really demonstrate that his grace and favor are resting on our lives. And I have to say, we often start off a bit shaky, sort of like, thank you, God, for life. but honestly, by the time you get through that list and you start to really reflect on what God has done for you, you really kind of get into it. You get into the swing of it and you become more and more grateful. And we encourage our children to do this. Sometimes at the dinner table, we encourage them to say what they're thankful for. And of course, it's what means something to them. So it's lots of thanks for Transformers and thanks for fancy dress costumes and things like that. But what are you hoping for in 2017? Are you a planner? Are you a dreamer? Are you a list maker? Are you a pragmatist? Are you one of those people that does resolutions? There's so much that I want to do this year. There's so much that I want to achieve. And over the Christmas season, we had this theme of why Christmas. This morning, I sort of want to piggyback on that a bit. And I want to ask you, why spend New Year's Day here in church? I mean, why, apart from the fact that it's Sunday, why would we want to start or year sitting here? What brings us here? And how is our faith going to figure in our lives this year? Especially after a year that may have in its best possible light looked like the training montage from Rocky. I think the thing that we need most at the start of 2017 is hope. Would you agree? So I'm going to read to you from Romans about the hope we have as Christians. And if you need a Bible, you can just stick your hand up and the hospitality team will bring one around for you. Thank you. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 18, and then I'm going to go into chapter 5 until verse 5. Romans 4, verse 18 to 5, verse 5. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. So Abraham and Sarah had lived through some very disappointing times. Sarah was barren, and they were both past their sell-by date in the childbearing department. They weren't perfect, and they tried to find ways to make their dream happen themselves with disastrous consequences. They'd failed many times along the way. And so Paul, in this epic letter to the Roman church, picks the story up at the point when, against all hope, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed because God had promised. The writer of Romans highlights that Abraham's story is not for Abraham alone, but also for his readers in the Roman church, and by extension for us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. He marks Jesus out as the one who was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Against all hope, Abraham believed because God promised. And that's how we believe too. That's one good reason to start our year here seeking God's presence and his guidance for 2017. Our faith in God through Jesus is the only solid foundation that we can build on this year. And if you're looking for hope, it begins with God's purpose and promises. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that Sarah would give birth to a child that would be the start of the most profound change in human history. People who were at odds with God, who were lost and had no sense of connection to their own origins and their ultimate purpose, would have peace with God through Abraham's descendant, Jesus. This is the grace in which we stand. Hope begins with God's purpose and promises. In the passage, Paul says, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. A new year gives us a chance to reflect on whether we are depending on God's promises and aligning ourselves with his purpose. Are we standing in God's grace? And you know, this sounds really simple, but of course we all know from experience that there are lots of things that obscure our view of God and challenge our will to trust him and live out his purposes for us. And disappointment is one of those things. Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. When we hope for something and it's long in coming, that has a deep impact on us. We become discouraged, and to become discouraged literally means to lose heart. Can any of us relate to the idea of hope deferred? Disappointment can really knock the wind out of us. And I'll tell you a story that demonstrates this. Now, some of you will know that I really love dance. I'm really into dance. And when I was very small, actually, I had a dream. This dream was to be a ballerina and a policewoman. Why not? So dance has been a big part of my life. It's been a big part of my career, and it's a personal passion of mine. And I've tried to pass this on to my kids. So we have the best dance parties in our house. So, you know, kind of kitchen and living room dance parties. And we go wild. I mean, crank up the music, you know, really going for it. Unbridled joy. So picture me and my two kids, Rachel and Daniel, caught up in this moment of absolute bliss. Dancing, laughing, and loving it. And I'm really going for it, like, you know, this is my time. I'm really going for it. You know, I have an audience of two. just as I feel myself rising to cloud nine, you know, it's just like throwing shapes. Arms start flying. And I kind of twist my body around. I don't know what I was doing. And whack. I have literally punched my five-year-old in the face. You know, I hear the impact. You know, I feel it's my knuckles that have hit my child across his cheek. And the only thing that stops this moment from actually just going in slow motion is his very abrupt scream, followed by lots of tears and the most profound look of disappointment I've ever seen in his eyes as he looks at me and he says, "Mommy, you hit me." But isn't life like that sometimes? We're just going along, we're caught up in our lives, and disappointment can really sting. It can make us withdraw from others, from a purpose, and from God. You see, Daniel didn't want to dance with me anymore that evening. I thank God for the resilience of children, because a few days later, when I tentatively suggested another dance party, he did join in. But he prefaced it by saying, "Mommy, I hope you don't plan to fling your arms around so much this time." So yes, disappointment stings and obscures our view of God. It obscures our view of the God of hope. It makes us doubt his very existence sometimes. And it can make us unsure of his intentions. But hope begins with God's purpose and promises. Another thing that can obscure our view is suffering. When we go through truly painful situations, when we experience loss, when people are cruel to us, it's hard to have hope when we're suffering. Now, realistically in the UK, you know, especially as Christians, we don't suffer the kind of things that our brothers and sisters in other countries suffer for their faith. You know, and many of us are wealthy by global standards. But we're not exempt from suffering. Many of us do suffer illness, grief, emotional scars, broken relationships, financial problems, addiction, and we really struggle to cope. Let's look back at our passage to see Paul's take on suffering from Romans 5, verse 2. He says, "We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." This doesn't make sense, does it? What does it look like to glory in our sufferings? Well, when we understand that hope begins with God's purpose and promises, and that we're justified and have peace with God through faith in Jesus, we can glory in our sufferings, not because we love pain, but because we understand that God uses our sufferings to produce good things in us. You know, in order to be truly people of hope, we go through a process, one that doesn't let us sidestep the harsh realities of our lives. Jesus himself said that in this world we will have trouble, but he encouraged us to take heart, to hold on to the hope that he has ultimately overcome the world. Now, I don't say any of this to minimize your suffering or to justify anyone who has hurt you, but I can recommend that you can trust God with your hurt. There's grace and healing and hope for your situation. You see, hope begins with God's purpose and promises and ends when God delivers. The journey that comes between has moments of amazing victory and glory, but it also includes difficult and overwhelming situations that produce perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and guess what comes next? A deeper, more profound hope. A hope that does not disappoint because of God's love that has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Yeah, I reckon Paul did a good job with his letter. This is wisdom for life, and this is the kind of stuff that's going to get us through 2017. What a good reason to start 2017 right here looking to God, saying we will stand in your grace this year. We will grow in our knowledge of you. We will seek your face even when your hand disappoints us. We will glory in the hope you have given us through Christ. We will glory in our sufferings because they kickstart the amazing process of teaching us to persevere, grow in character, and deepen our hope. You know, God's Holy Spirit is an amazing gift to us. It's the Holy Spirit who works in us to make all this great stuff happen. Did you notice that Paul didn't say, we glory in our sufferings because we are strong and perseverant, and this means we're people of hope and character? No. This hope that Paul describes has a life of its own. It seems that without our efforts, sufferings just produce perseverance, then perseverance produces character, then character hope. As if these things have a will of their own. You see, hope naturally grows in the fertile hearts where God's love has been poured out by his Spirit. Today, on the 1st of January 2017, God wants to pour his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. If you hear nothing else I say today, hear this. Wherever you are in your journey, however close you feel to God, he wants to pour his love into your heart by the power of his Holy Spirit. And he wants to give you a hope that will last and last and last. So remember that article I referred to before? The author was Zoe Williams. She writes in The Guardian. She gave her summary of the year, alluding to the film Rocky. And now, of course, this was a newspaper article that was very clearly, you know, taking a political position. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I want to take her thoughts and put them in the context of our response to God when life doesn't quite work out the way we'd hoped. So let me read you some excerpts from her article. It says, 2016, in its best possible light, looks like the training montage in Rocky. The bit where we lost a few teeth but learned how to take knocks. 2017 can be where that experience starts to count. My next year's self will have some advantage over this year's, which is experience. I'm not going to waste any more time, not one more morning, on despair. My final lesson from 2016 is to respond to the new normal by asking for more, not less. And of course, she's talking about political stuff. She'll be asking more from our politicians in 2017. But what if we flip this on its head? Because we know that as well-meaning as human leaders can be, actually it's God who's our source. Isn't that why we're here this morning? Why we started this year looking to God? Because even in the most disappointing of circumstances, God actually calls us to ask for more and not less, to raise our expectations of him and to keep them high. You know, he says we can boldly come to him in our time of need, come to his throne of grace in our time of need. Hope begins with God's purpose and promises and ends when he delivers. So what does this actually mean for us? What can we actually do in 2017 to live out this hope that God has given us? I've got three things that I want to encourage us to commit to this year. And the first is one that this writer in The Guardian suggested. She said, ask for more. So firstly, in 2017, let's ask for more. Let's come to God and expect good things. Firstly, let's ask for more grace. Apart from God, we have nothing. So seek his grace to cover your failures, to live a life worthy of the calling you have in Christ, to make the most of every day that you're given. Ask for more grace. Then be bold and specific in your prayers for everything that springs from your connection with God. Secondly, get back out on the dance floor. Yes, the last time was disappointing, and there's no guarantee that you won't be slapped in the face. But take a tentative step back out there, or even a bold step. Don't withdraw from God or shrink away from your purpose or the things he has given you a passion for. Get back out there. And thirdly, speak hope. Like Abraham, our stories of hope are not just for us, but as we share them with others, we can point them to God and ask his Spirit to pour the love of God into their hearts. That's the purpose of God, to have hope overflowing from our lives into our worlds. So as Andy comes back, let's respond to what God has been saying to us this morning. We need God's grace to guide us through this year. As a church family, we're moving to the next phase of our Go and Grow project. Let's ask God for more grace to hold on to his promises and seek his purpose in that. We've come with hearts full of hopes and dreams for this year. Let's commit ourselves to seeking God first in everything. Let's ask for more grace to do that. You know, I started out this message saying, what are you hoping for in 2017? But that's the wrong question. The real question we need to answer this morning is, who are you hoping in? Hope begins with God's purpose and promises and ends when he delivers. So are you ready for 2017? I'm going to say a prayer for all of us, and then I'd like to invite you to respond. If you want to ask for more of God's grace and hope. And if you need more wisdom to deal with the situations that you're facing, or even if you want to start your journey of hope with God, if you want to learn more about how Jesus can transform your life, I want to invite you to come up for prayer, because we're going to have a prayer team that's willing to stand with you and pray for you. Or you can just continue to worship or pray for each other. But there are two groups of people I think God really kind of highlighted to me as I was preparing to speak today. And one group is that there are people who are genuinely disappointed with life or with God, and you really feel like the wind has been taken out of your sails, and you may have gotten to the point where you feel numb. You just can't hope anymore. And I think God wants you to take heart this morning, and he wants to really pour his love into your heart. And then I also believe that God wants to release the gift of evangelism in our church, for people to be fired up to share their faith with others. In Timothy, it says, always be prepared to give the reason for the hope you have. And I think that God wants to stir that up specifically in some people this morning. So do come for prayer for that. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the God of hope. Thank you for all the stories that we can tell of overcoming our challenges and difficulties, because you are a part of our life, because you led us through them. Thank you for all the challenges that we face that have produced character and perseverance and hope in us. We stand here at the beginning of 2017 and we say, Lord, we are looking to you for more. We ask for more for our church. We ask for more in our personal lives and in our work. We want your love to be poured out into our hearts, and we want that to overflow. So more, Holy Spirit, more of you. In the name of Jesus, amen.